Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And Lathrop Slater, a Warriors insider for The Athletic. It is a nominee for Guest of the Year. How about that? And, of course, he's a long-suffering Dolphins fan, but he may have the last lap this Sunday in the afternoon matinee against the 49ers. Slater, good morning, brother.
Who's my competition? Like, who am I going against?
Dave Fleming, Brian Baldinger. Who else do we have, Lubbin?
Jerry Rice, Jerry Terrell Rice. Owens, yeah. And
Jerry
Herm Edwards.
Jerry Rice, yeah, you might be.
I mean, honestly, just the fact that I'm, like, in a category against Jerry Rice, I feel pretty good.
There you go. You may win, you may not win. We'll let you know about that. It's tough category to crack, though, Slater. Anthony. So the fact that you are a nominee says a lot.
Yeah, Anthony, we're excited to see if you win, you know? We might have a prize for you.
Okay. All right, I'll be searching on Twitter. I'm going to put your alerts on, or you know, whoever's breaking this news.
I don't know if there's going to be
not
any
just
prizes.
In the men's bathroom.
Oh boy, Lubbin bothers you in the men's bathroom?
No, we know he likes to bomb it up in there.
Well, why would you throw him? What the
I'm
hell?
Not ready to answer all that right, question.
I guess
the thing we can address that one later.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was a weird one. Slater, I'm sorry. I apologize on behalf of Joe Shasky.
What is going on here?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. But since we're getting weird, and the show has been weird today, Slater, before we get to basketball, we'll ask you two questions. I didn't know there was a drone problem in America. Do you have a drone problem up there? Where are you at? The El Dorado Hills, Citrus Heights, some suburb up there in Sacramento?
El Dorado Hills, we got a fog problem today. It's very foggy on the hills.
So no drone problem.
Suck it up, Buttercup. Fog problem.
You see a lot of planes, like actually, like the planes, it's right below their path coming over the Sierra. So I see planes. I don't see many drones. I will say this, when they play high school football games down here, Oak Ridge is pretty big here. I do see drones sometimes, but I feel like they're just doing like camera shots from above and stuff like that.
Yeah, no drone problems. No conspiracy theories. Also, have you ever eaten raccoon? I know you went to Oklahoma State, and it could be country out there in Oklahoma, from what I hear. There's a lot of people eating raccoons these days. Do you eat raccoon? Have you ever eaten raccoon?
I don't, but let me tell you, we had maybe a month ago in our like little hills neighborhood over here, we had some raccoons, like a group of four that were going and like rummaging up front yards, and it was like causing a real problem here. So it hasn't been in the last month, so maybe somebody in the neighborhood caught him and potentially ate him. I don't know.
That's great knowledge. All right, Schroeder, how does it work here with the Golden State Warriors?
You like, when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Like the fit.
I do. I think one thing that's being underrated in this, because, you know, I think there's a lot of talk of, like, oh, he's pick and roll. He's not how the Warriors play. They need to, you know, kind of adapt to him. Like, he is very adaptable. This is his eighth team in 12 years, which, you know, you could take in many ways. But one of the ways I'll take it is he can really kind of maneuver and evolve into various roles. I mean, I can remember back in his middle of his prime in Oklahoma City, he was coming off the bench in, like, a three-guard lineup. Remember, he used to play with Chris Paul and Shea at the same time. Mm-hmm. They still, like, anybody from that team, including Mark Daigneault, loves to talk about how important that team was and, like, the Thunder's kind of, like, slow rise, Shea's rise. But anyway, Schroeder was an important part of that. You remember him on those Lakers teams? He was, like, kind of like a pest defender off the bench. Obviously, he's been playing in Brooklyn as just, like, their primary scorer, primary ball handler. Like, he can do a lot of things and kind of, you know, he's shown he can kind of move into the exact type of role you need. So it may take a little bit, but I do like the fit because it seems to me he kind of fits everywhere.
He does. I really like the player. I think a lot of Warrior fans really like the player. He's one of those guys you hate playing against and you love him on your team. He's a classic fit. But what does it do for Bajemski? Because I'm listening to Steve Kerr yesterday and he's essentially now backtracking and saying that, like, Pajemski's not necessarily the ball handler that we thought he was. We want him to play a little more off ball, and he can make plays as, like, on the back end of a play, not on the front. It's just, it's kind of crazy. I feel like they've reversed course on Pajemski. Do you get that same sense too?
Well, I mean, the play has dictated, you know, them tapping the brakes here, right? And again, they're not going to come out and say the stuff that we can say. He's having a bad season. Like, you know, he's shooting it. He's one of the worst volume shooters in the league. I think he's at like 38%. I think that's fourth worst, you know, among people who've taken a certain amount of shots, like 150 shots. Obviously his three hasn't fallen. He hasn't shown a ton that, like, you'd want to see as, like, kind of a pick and roll creator. And it was all things they talked about over the summer, right? You know, I know Brandon Pajemski told me, hey, I'm going to take 8 to 10 threes per game potentially, or I want to. But part of that quote was actually that he talked to Mike Dunleavy and Steve Kerr, and they wanted him to up his volume. You know, it was a lot of, obviously, everybody remembers that Joe Lacob, you know, we think he's going to be an all-star. And sure, that still might be in the cards years down the line. But it's clear they wanted him to really up his responsibilities and who he was offensively coming into this year, and it just hasn't worked. And I think at this point in time, it's a smart time to pivot off, and I think they got a very good player to lessen Pajemski's minutes and load. And sure, you know, in certain lineups, it probably will help Pajemski, mostly because it's just taking responsibility away from him that he doesn't, at least for a winning team at this current moment, doesn't seem quite ready for. And again, they're going to say it in their own delicate ways because they're the people inside the franchise. But I mean, we all understand what's going on. We got eyes.
Yeah. I mean, I think the way you said it was pretty eloquent, but I'm now wondering, like, a guy that I didn't think was necessarily tradable in their eyes feels tradable. Just your gut feeling. It's just nothing other than your gut. Is he on the team?
He was never. Yes, I think he's on the team, to answer your question. I think he's on the team past February, but he was never not tradable. He was just valued extremely highly in all talks this summer. And part of that was he had 3 years at extremely cheap value, whereas Kuminga has 1 year left and, you know, extension talks this summer, all that. But he's still viewed as like a, you know, a long-term piece by them. I think they, you know, they're going to take a step back here a little bit. He's still, by the way, you know, everyone you talk to, they're like, hey, he's not just going to get DMPs now. He's going to be 24 minutes a game still. And they, you know, I guess it's like the off guard, third guard, you'd probably say, if Schroeder starts. But you know, sure. Like I would say maybe they're like, you could say, hey, now they'd be more willing to throw him in the trade, but also now the league probably values him a little bit less, right? It's that constant balance we've gone through the last few years with all the Warriors young pieces. The better they play, the more they want to keep them, the more the league wants them. The worse they play, the more willing they'd probably be to give them up, but also the less the league will offer them. So I don't know. It's a little bit tough. But to your question, I do think he'll be here past the deadline, yes.
Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line does an excellent job for The Athletic, a Warriors insider for The Athletic, also an Odyssey NBA insider as well, the Plus Minus podcast of Tim Kawakami, now part of the Odyssey family. Check out Slater on that as well. Slates, Kuminga and Draymond. This dilemma here where Steve Kerr is adamant that JK's a four. Draymond Green, I know he mentioned after the game, like, hey, man, you got to set a tone against Dallas. And they didn't set a tone defensively as they allowed 46 points in that first quarter. I guess I'll ask the same question about JK. We can get into the fit here. Is JK on his roster past the trade deadline in the NBA?
I think so, yes. I'm not sitting here saying they're done making moves because they are searching and will continue to search. Although, you know, you definitely get a vibe from them that they're going to like take a long look here, a runway with Schroeder and how the team looks and what the potential upside is. And then they'll look at the market as the deadline gets closer. And sure, if a big fish is there and it makes sense, like Kuminga theoretically could be in the deal. But they're not just going to trade him to trade him. I mean, right. He's still, you know, maintains to them high value long term. You know, the fit with Draymond, like, it is what it is. We've kind of known this. So they can play together. They just have to be the 4-5.
Right.
Which means there's not a center. But there's a lot of minutes to be had where there can be solo Kuminga 4 minutes, solo Draymond 4 minutes, and then minutes in small ball together. It's just Kerr has decided the best way to script that out is Draymond coming off the bench. He's still going to play 30 minutes. He's still going to close it mostly at center probably. Although with Schroeder here, I could see on certain nights if Schroeder's got it going and Steph's out there, Steve feeling the need that maybe Kuminga's offense isn't as important and you could close with like Draymond Looney, right, to kind of backbone the defense. But I think they're in an okay spot with Draymond and Kuminga because I do think you can make a rotation where they're both getting around 30 minutes. You just got to split them at times. And right now they're deciding to split them with Kuminga starting. And, you know, I mean, Looney's probably just going to have to – you know, shoulder a heavy defensive load. And I want to see Schroeder defensively. You know, they're really talking him up like he's a real plus on that end.
Yeah, point of attack defense there. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see that. They got to cut the water off in the backcourt there. But just thinking about Kuminga, if Draymond does re-enter the starting lineup and JK comes off the bench, which I still think he should get 25 to 26 to maybe even 30 minutes a night, I do like it when they go to that second unit. And what if they do have Schroeder at the point guard spot alongside Buddy Hield and JK? And now you can tinker that, you know, the motion offense and the movement and all that, and you go heavy pick and roll with Schroeder and Kuminga. I think that would be a devastating set for the Warriors coming off that second unit here. JK's diving to the rim, and he's doing a better job rebounding. I know there wasn't a lot of rebounds available against Dallas, but overall the last couple of weeks, JK has done a better job on the glass, Anthony.
Yeah, he's playing better. I mean, anybody who knows him will tell you, like, if he has a known solidified role and he feels a level of belief and, like, you know, every night, yeah, I'm going to come to the arena super focused because I know I'm getting 32 minutes. You know, I know I'm going to have heavy responsibility. Like, he generally plays better. Go look at his splits on nights where he gets like 25 or more minutes. Like, it's often there's a lot more activity there. There's a lot more rebounds, a couple assists, you know, a steal or two there, maybe a block. He had a 3-block night against Minnesota the other day. And obviously, you know, the point totals are up there. So, yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good about where he's at as a player right now in year four. Again, I think we could take two steps back and look at, like, the grand scheme of how he's been developed over the years and wonder, hey, if they had given him 800 more minutes over the last 3 years, would he be better? Probably, because any young player would be better if he had, you know, another half season more of reps that he could have got if, you know, they weren't playing Anthony Lamb on certain nights, or, you know, name your player that they played over him. But still, like, I don't know, year four, we could discuss his game in detail and the flaws that still exist within it, but I think he's a very solid NBA wing at this point.
As someone that's viewing this from, like, the top perch, they feel very vulnerable right now, the Warriors. What do they need? Like, if you were to give them the magic touch of one thing can go well for them and they can carry that on, what would it be? Like, what element, what player, what phase of the game?
Like, am I giving them somebody on the trade market, or am
current roster you have, there's a player that needs to, like, for example, in my head, I'm like, man, when Buddy Hield's been on, they've been almost unbeatable. I just don't know how you get him to be more consistent. You know, is there an element of the game that the Warriors can play over the next couple of weeks that you'd like to see them shore up to get better again?
Yeah, I think they just got to close better, and that's part of the Schroeder, addition. Like, you know, how many? Yes, they're 2-8 in their last 10, but like they're not getting blown off the floor. How many? Like they're in every game late, right? And you could name like at least 4 or 5 of them where it's like they had a 6-point lead with 5 minutes left, and they got outscored, you know, 13-2 in the last 5 minutes because they couldn't score. Obviously, that happened in Houston. It happened against the Thunder. It happened in San Antonio. We kind of know, like, it's stuff we've been discussing, but I want to see, like, Dennis Schroeder. Doesn't it feel like this is, like, chapter 2 of their season or whatever, you know, whatever. It's a new chapter today. They're going to look different. They're going to have a relatively high usage player, maybe their second leading scorer debut tonight. And certainly their second highest usage ball handler in the fourth quarter, I think, is going to be Dennis Schroeder. He's kind of built himself as a guy who scores and helps in the fourth. So, you know, again, if you're diagnosing what could, like, you know, turn their season back in a much more positive direction, to me, the easiest thing that I could actually see happening, because Buddy Hield suddenly being, like, you know, full throttle Buddy Hield, you know, for 82 games is not going to happen. That's who he is. But Dennis Schroeder really boosting this team's offense, particularly in the fourth, like, that could change their win-loss record in a large way.
I don't think the Warriors have won a game in which Buddy didn't score at least 18 points. I mean,
that's crazy.
That's crazy. I don't know if that's the barometer. I don't know what to make of it. But I was just looking at some splits, and when he doesn't score at least 18, they don't win. And he was stuck on 15 in that Rockets game a week ago. And, of course, we know how that game ended, where they lose 91-90, don't get to go to Las Vegas. Real quick, Anthony, before we let you go, and we do appreciate the time, as Anthony Slater joins us here on the River Islands guest line. What's your thoughts on the new All-Star game format?
Oh, I'm going to have to see it. I don't know. I mean, like, I've skipped, like, the last 4 or 5 All-Star games just because it felt like a young reporter's, like, you know, dream to go cover it. And then after, like, the 3rd or 4th one, I was like, what am I even doing here? I'm getting, like, there's no tangible value to any of this. It's uninteresting to me. I know it's like, that's not what the league wants to hear, but it's faded in interest, I think, even more over the years. Sure, I'm okay with them trying something new. They've done the Elam ending. They did the picking the teams, like, pickup. And I heard Durant say yesterday, just go back to East West. I'm almost fine with that. Go back to East West. Do whatever you want to try to incentivize the players, maybe financially. But if it wasn't in San Francisco this year, I would not be going, because it doesn't interest me anymore.
I'm kind of with you. I would be taking a vacation if it wasn't in San Francisco. That's for sure. Asking. Got any more for Slates?
No, I love basketball. I'm coaching, you know, 8th grade right now, my nephew and a bunch of other kids, and I've seen them from kindergarten all the way through. And it's just, there's just so many things that they see at the NBA level that drive me absolutely insane. And we're fixing the All-Star game, and I'm like, Adam Silver, there are 1,000 other things that I could, you know, try to fix or help you or encourage you to fix. The All-Star game was not even on my notebook. And it feels very unnecessary.
Well, I'll tell you why. I mean, it's one of their big money events, and it used to be, like, huge rating-wise, right? This used to be, like, equivalent to, like, a West Finals, NBA Finals. Like, people used to, like, Sunday All-Star game. Remember when they used to wear all the different jerseys and with, like, Kobe and Iverson and, like, that era? Like, that was one of their big ticket. We're selling this to the TV stations as, hey, TNT, you get the All-Star game. And the ratings have, you know, gone off a cliff. Right. You know, and I like that is why they're very interested in saving it. I generally agree with you that, like, you know, we can, I think some of the the smaller picture, bigger picture gameplay, you know, rule changes and schedule changes and maybe, you know, shortening the schedule would actually make the league better in a lot of ways. But I can also, I also understand financially why they're trying to get so people care more.
Like, it's a great point, but my counter, I'd be like, you guys just signed a $12 billion deal. Like, who is, like, opining that it's a make or break as a broadcast company for us to be able to sell this one game? I don't know. It feels like a drop of water in the bucket.
It does feel unnecessary right now when we're talking in, you know, whatever, early December. That weekend is kind of like there's no other things going on in the league, right? They always schedule it post Super Bowl. It's supposed to be a showcase NBA weekend. It's become a little embarrassing for the league the last couple of years. And while we don't really care about it right now in early December, if it's a horrible game again, come Sunday, February, whatever it is, like all you guys are probably going to be talking the Monday after that is how bad the All-Star weekend is.
Yeah.
And they don't want that anymore.
Yeah. 200 point score last year, which is just an absolute joke by the Eastern Conference. Anthony Slater here on a River Islands guest line. Your Dolphins going to beat my Niners on Sunday. Our Niners, I should say.
Oh man, it got flexed to like 105. Nobody's even trying to watch it anymore. I'd probably take the Dolphins because they're at home and it's meaningless, which means they'll probably show up.
It didn't get flexed. It got night-nighted.
It got night-nighted. Yeah,
I
did not realize it. I must have been sleeping under a rock because I was like, yeah, Niners got a 10 o'clock game. Someone's like, no, dude, they're playing at 105 or 125, whatever the hell it is. I'm like, really? Oh, that's kind of cool.
This was supposed to be like probably, you know, I don't know who has it, Fox or CBS, but I think when the schedule makers made it, they envisioned like Tom Brady and the Fox crew or, you know, Jim Nance. And that was like the premier 125, like, right. You know, an AFC Goliath against an NFC Goliath. No, those are two of the most disappointing teams in football.
Who would you rather have, Tua or Brock as your quarterback?
Oh, Brock. I mean, and I would probably mostly say that because like Tua's head injuries have like, you know, ruined a couple Dolphin seasons and would have you questioning his health long term much more than Brock Purdy.
He took some shots Sunday against Houston. Now he got up and I was like, that was the first time.
He's like diving for first downs. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like,
dude, Tua, get it together, man. I like Tua a lot. So the game is on CBS at 125. Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan reunion. There you go.
There you go. Hey, y'all are trying to like dig any type of storylines you can find out of that one.
I'm trying to do anything but talk about Brock's upcoming contract in season. It's already driving me crazy. How much money is he going to make? How much money is he going to make? Guess what, folks? He's going to make a lot of money. That's what we do.
Yeah, but how many years?
We got all offseason for that. I'm just so bogged down.
How about the Dennis Schroeder debut?
Yes.
That should own your airwaves.
It gets Taylor Jenkins, who we just cursed out last week.
Yes. I don't know if people saw this. You're right. It adds an extra layer to this Warriors-Grizzlies rivalry. Dennis Schroeder got in Taylor Jenkins' face.
That's what we need. More layers.
Yeah, more layers. See, yeah. Shasky knows I could sell any game. I'll sell a Portland Trailblazers game. The hell with me. The NBA needs me to start selling some of these games. I'll hype it up. Slater, you're the best, man. Have fun out there in Memphis, Tennessee.
All right, fellas.
See you, buddy.
Right, Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line. A lot of fun. Hey.